Good morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the goodness of God rest upon you, and may He give us wisdom and counsel and understanding through all we face. I just want to thank you for your prayers, and I want to thank you for, as a congregation, such warmth and love that's being poured out to the Kubasarians and to people that are hurting and mourning losses. And I thought one of the best things yesterday was, after everything happened and my sister died, that her daughter came into the room and said that Mom wanted them to celebrate at the point of her death, because it would have been a fulfillment of what you read, Scott, that she'd fought the good fight, she'd finished her course, and she'd kept the faith. And really, that's what we the living do. There were people who died yesterday, and there were people who were born yesterday. And we who are alive and remain must consider these things of what life really is. Because this is just a whisper. This is a whisper where we have planted in our heart the desire and yearning to come before eternity. Eternity in the face of Almighty God. For this is eternal life, to know the Father and to know the one He sent. And so hopefully what you will always find in teaching at this church is that we need to come to God in all times, as the wonderful Saint Job, right? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's our God in everything. He's in our rejoicing. He's in our mourning. And in all, He teaches us life. The intimacy of God and knowing God. Now, last week when I heard Scott begin to speak and talk about wisdom, I was amazed, because I don't know the whole confluence of things that go on, but I had done a study starting back in 2013, and I have been waiting to talk about the subject. And last month, I was told I was going to start this subject, and it's talking a bit about wisdom. And Scott, there he was, teaching it. I was like, God, you're awesome. The orchestrations of the awesomeness of God. And coming to God, what is godly wisdom? Last week, Scott talked about this, the quality, or we could call it the character, of rightly applying the coalescence of knowledge, experience, intelligence, discernment, and understanding in the fear of God. So last week, Scott was talking about this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I want us to realize that in everything we go through in life, in everything that we come to understand in life, what we're doing is not just coming to a philosophy. We're not just coming to an idea. We're coming to God. And all the good and the godly characteristics that we can find in life, all the things, whether it be love or mercy or compassion or wisdom, all of these things originate from God. All of this comes from God. And what we are doing when we learn how to communicate the ideas of God's character is really coming back to God. So God reveals Himself, and we understand through words like, again, love, wisdom, mercy, compassion, righteousness, just, good, generous, wise. But really what we're doing is we're following the pathway of those words back to the Creator, who is all these things. And so really when we look at wisdom, it's not just the ability of all of this coalescence coming together with things you've learned. Oh, I've had these experiences. I have this knowledge. I have this blessing for just a moment. It is walking with God, who Himself is perfectly wise, and living a life of wisdom. To know God is to know wisdom, as to know God is to know love, is to know compassion, is to know His holy ways. And so what we're really talking about here is not just the idea of in a moment, oh, they have the wisdom to figure out the judgment, like King Solomon, who was so wise. Remember when the baby was brought before him and the two women both saying it was his? It was wisdom that gave him the solution to reveal the heart of a matter. But that wisdom was there before they ever entered that room. It was a gift that God had given to him when God came to him and said, what is it that you would have? Wisdom was already there. It was already present. It was part of the way he lived life because God gave him that gift. So I want us to understand that in the sense of wisdom, what we're learning about wisdom, to know what it is to live wisely, to live like he does. And so this is basically who it is. Now, last week we looked at this, James 3:17. What does godly wisdom look like? The wisdom that is from above, this is James 3:17, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, when you think about wisdom, maybe the way we talk about it in the world, just what does it mean? Oh, he is so wise, or that was a lot of wisdom in that. Is this the definition that comes to your mind? You're shaking your head, no, it's not. There's other thoughts that we have, right? So in and of itself, for us to learn wisdom, we got to really think about this. First, it's pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. See, in essence, there is a character here, isn't there? It's a character of wisdom that is pure and peaceable, that is gentle, that is willing to yield. It's going to produce good fruit. There's no partiality with wisdom. There's no hypocrisy with wisdom because it's the emanation of the life of God and his pouring out. So when God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask, because the wisdom comes from God, and this character, the way it looks, this is all godly. So when we talk today about wisdom, I don't want us to miss this point. We are not just talking about a subject. We are talking about Almighty God. And what we are seeing in the revelation of wisdom is really just a glimpse, a little slice here and there of what's already in the heart and in the mind that is so wise. See, wisdom is not, again, just the moments. We can be wise in a moment and foolish in others. We're good at that humanly. But God is always wise. And as you read through the first chapters of Proverbs, everything God did, he did in wisdom. When he created this universe, when he created this planet, when he created the animals, when he created human beings, he did it out of his wisdom. He did it out of what looks like this. See, one of the things when we sing that song, Good, Good Father, because he is pure. He is peaceable. He is humble. He is gentle. He has no partiality. He is not hypocritical. He is perfectly wise and perfectly righteous. And so, friends, when we talk about wisdom, I want you to come with the vision of coming before Almighty God in a very intimate way. As a child to his father, saying, teach me. Teach me your heart. Teach me what is in you, Almighty God. Notice it says here in James 3, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So, as we talk about this and we come to God and we are searching for the wisdom that is God for every circumstance, really what we're seeing are what wisdom is, the way it looks. But now notice, whoever's wise and understanding, show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. How would that conduct look? What does it look like? Well, we saw that it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield. But I want to talk to you about some specifics today, about the things that God says. So, what are the characteristics of those who have godly wisdom versus one who is foolish? So we're going to do something a little different. I'm not going to have you turn in the scriptures as much. I want you just to look with me, and you can watch this again on YouTube. If you want the verses, you can go back and get them. But let's just contemplate this, and we're going to go through these fairly rapidly. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So, it's a good place to start, isn't it? A wise man will hear, listens, and increases learning. Listening is a very important part of being wise. It's part of that humility. A fool, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So God says, here's the difference. Here's what it looks like when you're wise. Here's what it looks like when you're foolish. So what we can do now is we can begin, this is just a little slice of what wisdom looks like, and begin putting together some of the whole pieces of what this looks like. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commands. He's not too proud to do the things that are commanded. Fools mock at sin. In other words, they would make fun of saying there's a commandment to obey God in this way or in that way. They would look at that and reject it. They mock at it, the scripture says, as opposed to being one that will receive commands. Proverbs 12:15, a wise person heeds wise counsel. So that's kind of cool. When they hear wise counsel, they want to heed it. Not just receive it, but they want to heed it. You get the difference between that? Because we can know something is wise. That doesn't mean we're living by it. Heeding wise counsel is to hear it, acknowledge it's wise, and say, now I need to apply that in my life. Because that is wisdom. Proverbs 23:9, the fool despises the wisdom of your words. A completely different reaction. Why would the foolish despise the wisdom of somebody's words? So you think about that, and we begin to understand more deeply the difference between wisdom and heeding wise counsel and despising the wisdom of words. Because there isn't a desire, in a sense, in that intimacy of walk that says, God, whatever it is that you would have me do, that's what I want to do. That's what would cause us to receive commands. But a fool mocks at sin, and a fool isn't really looking for the wisdom of somebody's words. They're looking for something else. Proverbs 13:1, the wise heeds his father's instruction. Proverbs 15:5, the fool despises his father's instruction. 15:20, he despises his mother. So the characteristics of wise and foolish. Proverbs 19:20, listens to counsel and receives instruction. That's the way of the wise. To listen to counsel and receive instruction. The way of the fool, they have no heart for wisdom. So God, again, declaring the difference, contrasting the heart. Proverbs 21:11, the wise receives knowledge when he is instructed. Proverbs 12:23, a fool proclaims foolishness. Completely different way of thinking. Now, as we continue to go through these, I hope that you're looking and you're contemplating the meditation within your heart of who God is, of what the ways apart from God are. But also, as we look at these verses, to understand that, generally speaking, the fool doesn't know he's a fool. The fool doesn't know he's a fool. So God is giving us characteristics so we can understand the difference between one who is wise and one who is foolish, so that we can make determinations in our own self and what's in our hearts and how we are lining up with the wisdom that we find in God. So again, think of the intimacy of what our Father is proclaiming. He proclaims Proverbs 9:9, the wise will become wiser still when given instruction. The fool, Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him. Proverbs 15, verse 14, their mouths feed on foolishness. It's fun to be a fool. It's fun to act foolishly. It's fun to act without wisdom. That is the way of a fool. But the wise become wiser still. Proverbs 9:8, the wise will love you for rebuking him. The wise will love you for rebuking him. How often do you feel like somebody coming to give you a rebuke and you're like, I love you. That's awesome. But the wise do. Because the wise want to know what's right, what's wise, and what's good. See, the heart of a person who is wise and seeking the wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. That is where all the seeking of goodness is in seeking God. Knowing God exists, one, that makes you wise. Just acknowledging God. Two, having a fear of God, coming before him and saying, you know, and I don't. So what is it, God, that you can reveal to me of yourself that I can be more like you? Be wise. be wise. Don't walk like a fool. So when God rebukes us, we love him for it. Because why would God rebuke us? Because he's pure. He's peaceable. He's gentle. He yields. He's without partiality and without hypocrisy. His works are done in goodness, and there's all this awesome fruit. So we trust the wisdom of God. We want to receive of the wisdom of God. And when the wise hear what's wise, we're like, I want more. Thank you for telling me. You know, it's like when you have mustard on your face, right? You know, sometimes people get offended. Like, oh, draw attention to me. Or sometimes you're like, thank you for telling me. I would have walked around with that on all day. My brother one time, he had green pickle relish on the tip of his nose, was with an employee of ours, and they didn't tell him for like the longest time. He's walking around with pickle relish out his nose. It's like, tell somebody, right? Sometimes we think that what we're doing is the right thing by not, but if you lovingly and in a spirit of meekness rebuke a wise person, they will love you for it. If you rebuke a fool, they won't, because they're right in their own eyes. A fool is wise in his own eyes, will not receive rebuke, will actually despise it. Proverbs 17:10, rebuke is effective for the wise. Proverbs 14:16, the fool rages and is self-confident. They're not looking to learn because they believe what they believe is already right. They figured out the way and they rage against wisdom and against counsel. Proverbs 18:15, the wise seek knowledge. As for fools, Proverbs 18:13, they answer a matter before they hear it. Before they hear it, they're already giving what should be done, rather than seeking understanding and knowledge to give an answer. Wise counsel, a wise counselor will ask many questions. If you're going to somebody for counsel and they're not asking questions, they're just talking, you might want to think about that. How much wisdom was there in answering a matter before it was heard? Proverbs 15, verse 2, the wise use knowledge rightly. Proverbs 13:16, as for the fool lays open his folly. So in other words, what is known and the knowledge that's applied, the wise are going to use it in a way that's awesome, that's helpful. Not so much the foolish person. Proverbs 15:7. The wise disperse knowledge. They share it. They're helpful with it. Proverbs 15:7, as for the fool, their hearts do not disperse knowledge. Proverbs 15:2, they pour forth foolishness. So again, a completely different heart and attitude here between the wise and the foolish. Proverbs 10:19, the wise restrain their lips. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? The wise restrain their lips. As for the fool, Proverbs 14:33, what is in their heart is made known. Proverbs 18:2 has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own opinion. Always eager to talk, not so much to heed, not so much to listen, not so much to learn. So are you seeing some of the character that is in this? Listening, learning, observing, gaining understanding. The way of the wise is very insightful. There's a patience to it. There's a patience to wisdom. There's that old saying, right? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. There's a patience in wisdom in coming before God to hear the counsel of his thought, to understand the wisdom of his ways. There's a patience in learning. It doesn't have to be rushed. There's a process to this. It says in the scripture, let patience have its perfect work. It's part of building of faith. It's part of building of trust. It's part of building a fear of the Lord that makes one wise, that separates one who is wise and one who is foolish. Proverbs 12:18, as for the wise, their words promote health. So when they're not restraining their lips and they are talking, what they're saying is to lift up, to promote health, to make things better. As for the fool, Proverbs 10:18, they spread slander, that is to hurt, to tear down. Proverbs 10:8, Talking leads to their own fall. Proverbs 14:3, their speech is like a rod of pride. In other words, it beats, it hurts. It's not providing health, but actually it's inflicting wound. It's harsh. It's condemning. It's belittling. Because that's what a fool does. The fool's expression is more selfish. In every way, what's in my heart is important. I don't need to listen. Let me tell you what it is. And a fool just keeps pouring forth. And what eventually happens is they just start tearing down because they do not restrain their lips, nor are they seeking their words to promote health, but slander, hurting, and bringing destruction. Proverbs 14, verse 3 says that the wise, their words preserve them. Proverbs 10:14 says, for the fool, their words keep them near destruction. So again, what is coming out of the mouth? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So where is it that the change takes place to go from being foolish to wise? It happens in an intimacy with God in the gift of wisdom he gives by the Spirit. One of the seven spirits is the spirit of wisdom, spirit of counsel, spirit of understanding. All these things come from God. And he's saying, this is where I want you to humble yourself before me to seek out what is wise, what is good, and what is certainly holy. Proverbs 16, verse 23, the wise, they teach their mouths what to speak and add learning to their lips. I love that proverb. They teach their mouths what to speak. They think about what's going to come out, and they teach themselves about the way it's going to come out and what it's going to say, and they're going to add learning to their lips. They're not just going to spout. They're going to teach themselves what to say. See, one of the most brilliant things about this principle and what God is teaching us in the words and all these verses now that we've been reading about how the wise have something that they pour forth from their mouth and fools something completely different that pours out is that in it we're seeing a sense of God and the intelligence and the character and the spirit that God wants us to be applying. That's what wisdom is. It's the coalescence of all this knowledge and this experience and this learning in the fear of God to take it and then to use it in a way that's going to promote health. See, sometimes it's just best to restrain your lips, isn't it? Because what is filling up your heart, you're like, no, you shouldn't say that. I know you want to, right? But no, you should just be quiet right now. You should just be quiet. And wisdom is to know what to say and what not to say. These are things that are so powerful in learning what wisdom is. As for a fool, Proverbs 17:7 says, excellent speech is not becoming to them. I'm going to say what I want to say. I don't need to think about it. I just say it. Proverbs 18:6, his lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. So if what you're saying is leading to contention, you have to say, maybe I'm expressing more of the heart of a fool. Maybe I should speak less, think more, listen more eagerly, and teach my mouth what to say and the way to say it. That's wisdom. Because if what's coming out of our mouths is tearing people down instead of promoting health, then we have to say, well, God, give me wisdom. Now, here's the thing that's so amazing about this is, this is all God's word. Everything we've been reading comes right from the Bible. These are all words that God has breathed for us. It says that all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction of righteousness, that the man of God would be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when you think about this, then in light of what God is saying wisdom looks like in terms of conduct, and in light of James 3 and what Scott spoke about last week, that we should ask in faith, believing that we can receive this from God, to ask God to put in our hearts the desire to teach our mouths what to say, to know when to speak and when to be silent, and to know how to use our words to promote health and to avoid the things that will bring about contention and argument and blows. Right? See, this is part of who God is. This is pure. This is peaceable. It's willing to yield. It's gentle. See, the thing about wisdom and the wisdom of God as it was described through Peter there in all that he described, do you realize that what's so cool about wisdom is it's eternal? Godly wisdom goes forever. Because when we live a pure, peaceable, gentle, giving, fruitful, abundant, impartial, without hypocrisy life, that doesn't ever need to stop, does it? See, partiality has to stop. Injustice needs to stop. What is immoral? What is unjust? These things need to stop, right? Lying, facades, where we're not genuine, where we're not sincere, where we're not in truth, that needs to end. So wisdom is saying, godly wisdom is that these characteristics of it, you never need to change this. Once you're doing this, it can go forever. See, that's the brilliance of eternity, is living a way that works forever, that works ongoing. How long does the earth go without problems when there is envy, when there is greed, when there is jealousy, when there is bitterness, when there is unforgiveness, where there's resentment, where there's striving and lust for power and materials and possessions? All we have to do is look around the world. Just look at what happens when we don't have godly wisdom. The world is the fruit of a lack of the fear of the Lord and a lack of wisdom. So people kill people because they want more land, or they want more oil, or they want more gold, or they want more what? That's not pure and peaceable. That can't last. The ways of the Lord are eternal. They go out forever. And you never need to stop. In other words, everything the Lord commands is perfectly repeatable, because in His law, which is so wise, in His word, which is so giving of wisdom, everything He instructs doesn't just think about you. It doesn't just think about God. It thinks about everyone. The wisdom of God takes everyone into consideration. And the wisdom of God brings about what is eternal and lasting, and is completely repeatable into the future. So here's a point of wisdom. Don't do things you can't repeat. Could you watch pornography every day? Is it repeatable? Don't even do it once. How about doing drugs? Getting high? Is it repeatable? Nope. Don't even do it once. What about committing adultery? Is it repeatable? No, don't even do it once. See, the wisdom says if it's not repeatable, if it can't go on for eternity, don't start now. Not even once. The fool has to learn this. We call this the lesson of hard knocks, right? Classroom of hard knocks. We have to go through to figure it out. Praise be to God. He's patient with us. That He's trying to work in us all this eternity. But what He's teaching us is, look, I'm going to lay it out for you. Here's my word. Here's the shortcut. But if you got to go the hard way, I'm still going to love on you. I'm still going to keep pursuing you. But I want you to learn the right way. So think of the things that are repeatable. And friends, we have a phrase that you don't find in the Bible, at least not that I know of, but it's called common sense. Do you know what common sense is? Wisdom. It's wisdom. It's knowing. And people say common sense is not so common. Where the fear of the Lord exists, there is common sense. There is wisdom. But as we reject the fear of the Lord, we get insane. We aren't thinking clearly anymore. We go off on weird paths. When I looked at some of the things that were written in an article that was about Scott and some of his beliefs, and he was expressing his desire to serve women and to have voice for the unborn and to see them come to life, and reading some of the things, people are actually talking about wanting to support abortions, wanting to fund more abortions. What a strange concept. That somehow the thought that by being able to kill your baby would give you freedom. That's messed up. That's not logical. There's no sense in that. A wise person can look at that and say, that's not right. But the foolish person looks at that, and because of blindness, through a lack of fear of the Lord, even the logic isn't there. It's just not there. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Proverbs 10:5 says that the wise gathers in the summer. Proverbs 21:20, the fool squanders their wealth. They don't think about what it is. What's all wealth? Whose is it? God's. If you think about it as being God's, you now have a responsibility to it, right? But a foolish person squanders their wealth. Proverbs 21:20, having treasure and wealth in their dwelling is a characteristic of the wise. And not just monetarily, I'm talking about what is real treasure, what is real wealth. They have it in their household. Proverbs 19:10, luxury is not fitting for a fool. Isn't that interesting? What do they say about a fool and his money? They're quickly separated, right? It's gone. It's not befitting. They have it. And they usually don't. It usually goes away pretty quickly. Proverbs 13:20. The wise walks with wise men is not the companion of fools. So this is the part of the sermon where you think about your friends. Who do I hang out with? Right? Are they wise? Because the wise wants to hang around the wise. And it's not a companion of fools. Proverbs 11:12. The fool despises his neighbor. They don't need anybody, maybe. They think ill of others. Proverbs 21:22. The wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. In other words, they have the wisdom to bring down what man would say is high. And they can bring it low and into nothing. In life, this is something that God wants us to see and wants us to do. Proverbs 17:18 says that the foolish shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for another. So if you are going into debt for somebody else, says that that's not a wise thing to do. Now, see, sometimes people think that this is love. But if it's foolish, it's probably not love. Ultimately, the provider for all of us is Almighty God. So God is telling us what is wise and what is foolish, and understand the difference. Proverbs 24:5, the wise is strong. Proverbs 19:3 says of the foolish, his heart frets against the Lord because he twists his way. And Proverbs 9:13 is clamorous, boisterous, simple, and knows nothing. Not a lot of strength in that. So the way of the foolish is not the way to go if you want to be strong. But also the confidence, his heart frets. See, when one dies in the faith, as Scott was reading in 1 Thessalonians 4, when you die in Jesus, you're going to your death knowing where you go from here. There's actually a lot of strength in that. When your heart is not right before the Lord, you fret about these things. You fret about it. So where is faith to be found? Proverbs 14:1, the wise builds her house. Proverbs 14:1, the foolish pulls down her own house. So are you building your house in your family, or are you tearing it down? Proverbs 15:24, their way of life, this is of the wise. Proverbs 15:24, the wise, their way of life winds upward, that he may turn away from hell. What a beautiful verse that is. The way of the wise winds upward to turn away from hell. But as for the foolish, Proverbs 19:29, beatings are prepared for them. Not the things that you want. Proverbs 13:14, as for the wise, their law is a fountain of life to turn one away from death. Again, what is coming out of them in their wisdom? Life. As for Proverbs 18:7, it says of the foolish, his mouth is his destruction and the snare of his soul. Completely different paths. Of the wise, it says in Proverbs 10:1 that he makes a father glad. Again, in 15:20, he makes his father glad. But as for the foolish, Proverbs 17:21 says he gives his father no joy. And Proverbs 9:1 is grief to his mother. So when parents see the foolishness, isn't this how we feel, parents, when we see children acting in foolish ways? But when we see them acting with wisdom, there is joy and happiness. Proverbs 17:2 says that the wise will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. This is speaking of a servant who is wise. That they will actually rule over the son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. In other words, the wise servant gets grafted in because of the wisdom of that servant. And it takes an inheritance. Proverbs 11:29, the fool will be the servant to the wise at heart. So a reversal of fortunes. It's amazing how many times you look through some of the family wealth, the Vanderbilt family. Has anybody read about the Vanderbilt family? How many of you have heard of the Vanderbilt family? Okay, so most of you have heard of them. A couple of you read about them. Their wealth in their family is gone. It's gone. The legacy they have is the university, Vanderbilt. But for their children, the generation took about six generations for it to all go away. It gets squandered. It gets wasted. Because those who were accumulating and growing it and then using it in philanthropic ways ended up handing it to those who would consume it and waste it, and it goes away. It's the lessons that we're learning here today. So, of the wise, it says this in Proverbs 14:35, has the king's favor. As for the foolish, is a grief to his father and bitterness to his mother. A completely different story in life of what's pleasing and what's not. Now, I want us to look here at the characteristics we've read about today, because we went through 25 characteristics, and we could probably pull out more, but about 25. This isn't obviously exhaustive, but it gives you a totality in some way, enough slices to try to put together a character type. So you have this foolish person. They despise wisdom. They mock sin. They reject their parents' instruction. They don't have any heart for what is wise. So in other words, this is a person who's arrogant, right? They don't want to learn from anybody, not their parents, not what's just, not what's wise, not what's right, because they figure, I know better. So in the very heart of foolishness, it's not a fear of the Lord to humble themselves before the Lord. There's a pride and an arrogance saying, I know better. So we should check that in our hearts, right? We should say, is that my heart? Is there foolishness still bound up in my heart where I'm not willing to yield to the righteousness and the ways of God? A fool practices foolishness, trusts in himself and his own eyes, will reject rebuke and correction, and doing evil things is like sport to them. In other words, don't tell me I'm doing what's wrong. Don't come and judge me with a rebuke to tell me that I'm going in a false way. I don't want anything to do with that. So where is our heart when it comes to the rebukes from the Lord? If God's word is presented to you, if God's way is presented to you, whether by your husband, your wife, a friend, a peer, somebody at church, somebody at work, are you willing to listen and take it in and evaluate, is there truth in what they're saying? Is there truth in what they're saying? Because in that is the heart of one who is wise. It's not just quickly making a decision. It also says in 1 John 4:1 that you shouldn't believe every spirit as well. But you should test and see whether that spirit is of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. The wisdom is to listen, and the wisdom is to consider the truth of it. A wise person will do that and will learn. They'll become wiser still. But as for the fool, they won't. So they will do evil things and reject that. They'll answer a matter before hearing it, lay open folly to everyone, speak foolishness, take no delight in discretion, but in expressing their own opinions, slandering others, speaking other destructive words. So think about this as a part of character. Basically, a foolish person just goes out to do whatever they want, whatever they feel like, whatever they want to do. Don't judge me for it. This is who I am. They embrace life as they see it and as they want it, and it comes without regard for other people. So to speak bad about somebody, not a problem. To be hurtful, destructive, it's really not a problem. It's their problem. So doing evil is sport because, hey, it's your mess now. right? I bust your window out. I destroy your property. I wreck it. I take what you like and make it bad. That's the way of a foolish person. There's no thought and consideration of the other person in the way of a foolish mind. They contend with others. Contention is a big characteristic of a foolish person. They're very contentious. They like to argue. They like to fight. And they yield to that in their spirit. You know, there is a time to fight. There is a time to stand up. There is a time to do what is righteous. You know, Jesus overthrew the money changers' tables. That was a righteous thing to do. But a contentious person, one who is always contending, is a fool because what they leave behind them is a path of hurt and broken people and relationships. And that's where a wise person says there's no wisdom in that. When you think about the wake of your life as the path that you go through with Almighty God, what do you leave in your wake? What is left behind you? If you're walking along, turn around. Look at what your life was before and say, what have I left behind me? See, destruction is to come into the Garden of Eden and leave it behind a desolate wilderness. The way of God is to come into a wilderness without form and void and leave behind it a place of light and amazing life. That's what God left behind. So he leaves an awesome wake in his wisdom behind him where he goes. The wise person leaves a great wake of fruit and blessing behind them. So when you have a day like today, turn around and look. What am I leaving in the wake of my life? See, a wise man will consider. Better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. A man will consider the end thereof. So think about your life. What is it that you leave behind you? They despise their neighbor. They co-sign notes for others. They fret because their own ways are twisted and weak. They tear down their own house. They bring about their own destruction. They grieve their family. And they become servant to the wise. Almost reads like a prophecy, doesn't it? That if you want to live foolishly, this is the end of it. That's the way it looks. But with the wise, it's not so. Look at the wise. The wise is a listener who seeks to understand, who seeks to follow what God says, who wants to heed counsel. See, in the congregation of the righteous is a heart and desire to have a poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is the wisdom of God that is pure and peaceable and gentle and giving. It's the wisdom of God to seek what is righteous and what is just, what is true. Notice they accept rebuke. They fear and depart from evil. We want nothing to do with it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To say, I want no part of it. If it's not repeatable in that it won't hurt anyone else or me or my household, I don't want anything to do with it. If I can't repeat it, I don't want to do it. They think in eternal ways. So they fear and depart from evil. They use knowledge rightly to do good. Isn't that beautiful? Using knowledge rightly to do good. Restrains from speaking and shows discretion. Being wise does not mean being transparent about everything that goes on in life and about everybody else's lives. Being transparent before God is a sincerity of heart that fillets yourself before the Almighty and puts yourself in a place of peace to be harmless as a dove to every person you come in contact with. But sometimes wisdom is being discreet. It's not laying folly open. Remember, God covers multitudes of sin, and sometimes what's best is to seek forgiveness and healing as opposed to exposing to shame and to scorn. Wisdom knows what to do and when. The Bible says, answer a fool according to his folly. Also says in the next verse, answer not a fool according to his folly. The wise learn to understand the difference and what the purpose is. It's not a matter of exposing or doing what's in the flesh. It's a matter of, before God, what needs to be done that's best for all in this circumstance. That's part of what's wisdom, to know what to do. Speak to promote health, to build others up. The wise teaches himself what to say and not. Works to gather provision, stores up wealth. builds friendships with other wise people. In other words, the wise keep growing in the abundance of riches, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, because they take of the riches that God gives them and they manage it to provide blessing, to be a means of blessing to other people. They cast down strongholds. So the important part about life is that there are strongholds that we face, foolish strongholds of thought in our lives that need to be cast down, and things in life that need to be brought low, that what the world might say is mighty, we need to realize in our own hearts, that's not mighty. What's mighty is Almighty God, who has humility, who is full of honor and goodness. Look at this. He builds up his own house. The wise tends to heavenly, godly living away from hell. The wise has a law of living that is a fountain of life that steers him away from that which leads to death. Does it give you a sense of the character of one who is wise? The way they're living their lives and what they leave behind them? The wise makes his family glad. The wise receives an inheritance. The wise rules over the foolish. The wise obtains the king's favor. I want you to think about this strictly from a spiritual point of view right now and an eternal point of view. Because as God is molding and shaping our hearts and our lives by being intimate with him, what he's really doing is he's pouring himself into us. It says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 that we are to gaze upon the glory of God. And as we gaze upon the glory, we are being transformed from glory to glory into the very image of the one that we're looking at. It's part of the work of the Spirit in life. And this wisdom brings with it not just a way of living, but it brings with it a way of blessing that will go on for generations. Because ultimately, whose house have we been brought into as children of God? Into his lasting kingdom with a law that is a fountain of life to steer away from death, to make the family glad, to receive the inheritance, to rule with Christ, and to have his favor. See, ultimately, what is it that we are doing? We are looking to walk in faith to be pleasing to our God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. But we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that come to him. Friends, his ways of wisdom are worth searching out. His ways of wisdom are worth looking at to apply to life. The wise will hear this and want more wisdom. And that's why we have his word, because he shows us what is perfect wisdom, what is perfect righteousness, what is perfect goodness. The greatest wisdom that we have is coming to God to know this, that there is a God who made us and a God who gave his son, Jesus Christ. The deepest, most foundational wisdom is to know that there is salvation in Jesus Christ, to know the intimacy of walking with Jesus Christ and to have him in your life. And I would ask, as you think about your life today, whether it be as a wise person or a foolish person, that you can see in your own heart what God is revealing. I would ask that there be this one consideration above all others. And that is, do you know in your heart whether you are steadfast in the Lord Jesus Christ? Whether you have a heart for God that is stable, that if you did die tonight, that you know that you have a God and a Redeemer and a Savior who will raise you up on that last day. Because ultimately, for you and me to live a life of wisdom, we must have an assurance that comes from faith in Jesus Christ that is without doubt, that is without uncertainty, but is with the certainty that comes from God. You realize that everything that is in wisdom is founded in the very wisdom of God, in the love of God, and in the foundational forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. Most of the time that people act like fools is because there is hurt in the heart. There is unforgiveness in the heart, whether of sins committed by them or sins committed against them. There is reaction. Wise people aren't reacting to what is going on in the world around them. They are reacting to the Almighty God in heaven from which all salvation flows. So we cannot finish this message today without challenging in our own hearts whether, yes, I have a stability and a confidence in God because His sacrifice is greater than my sin. His sacrifice is greater than my weakness. His appointing of eternal life is greater than the works of death that I've done. And His blood covers me from all sin, and blessed is the man to whom God imputes no sin, for he stands justified before God. This is wisdom, my friends. This is the wisdom that is from above and that flows out in every little aspect of conduct, whether it's not squandering your wealth, whether it's using your resources to be a blessing, whether it's not speaking evil of others, but talking good, promoting health. It all flows from the same God. The God that we must come to and know and have in our hearts and minds, leading and guiding and ruling by the Holy Spirit He gives to us. So if you are uncertain of this, we can't even begin the process of growing in wisdom, because it's so foundational that we begin with a fear of the Lord that is an understanding of the salvation that is through Jesus Christ. So I would ask you today that if you have any doubt, if you in this room have any doubt, that you come to the front and let's talk and pray about this very thing. Let's understand where the wisdom needs to take place to receive by faith that there be no doubt. A life of doubt is a life of foolishness. A life of faith is a life of godliness. And I call you to godliness today. I call you to the assurance of the blood of Jesus Christ. I call you to know the mercy and forgiveness that is in Him. So I'll be right up here for anybody that says, I want to talk about this, I want to pray about this. And if you say, oh, I'd be embarrassed to go up, or I feel shame about something like that, this is a house of healing. If anybody would look down upon another that would come up for redemption, for healing, for forgiveness, for confidence, you need to come up. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would cause your spirit of conviction, your spirit of holiness, and your spirit of wisdom to come upon us to realize that the most important and the most wise thing that we can do is always make sure our life is being built on and perfectly centered on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and King, and to not try to seek to build anything that is not on His foundation and that cannot be found in Him. For in Him is everything that is eternal and is repeatable. And God, you filled Him. You showed us your glory in the way that He lived His life in the flesh, and in the way that He lives His life in the heavenlies, in being a holy and just high priest, so merciful, always interceding on our behalf. And we thank you, Jesus, for your wisdom, which is so pure and peaceable, so gentle and good. We thank you for the holy fruit that you have left. What a wake that your life has left behind, that all who will come to you will have eternal life and know the blessings of your kingdom for all eternity. And I pray, Holy Father, that you would pour a spirit of conviction. If anyone is doubting or lacking confidence in you here today or in your salvation, that it would be addressed and that it would be brought out today. I pray, Father, that all who have this confidence and this faith, that you would strengthen it, that you would bless it, that you would make it whole, and that, God, we could completely accept the sacrifice of your Son in our lives. We thank you for the salvation that's in Him. And God, we thank you that we can praise you. And we want to do that now in Jesus' name. Amen.